Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Paranormal Peeps podcast. We are coming to you not live, but previously recorded from the great state of Utah. And I have with me...
Elisa.
Terry.
And I'm Lord Mike.
And I'm Josh. So we just wanted to say thank you for coming in and listening to us. And we have a very interesting topic for you guys this week, and I'm sure we are going to butcher the name many, many times over.
It's pronounced Chuck Norris. I think the supernatural phenomenon is known as Chuck Norris.
Yes. I think Elisa can help us out with the proper pronunciation of this name.
So it is Japanese, and it's Ningen.
So, everyone, that's the proper way that you're going to hear it, and we'll probably be the last time.
And don't expect to hear it correctly again.
Unless it comes out of my mouth. I'm just kidding.
Because it looks like ninja to me. It's like the ninja.
Yeah, and I think we pronounced it Ningen to start, which means carrot in Japanese.
No, Ningen.
Ningen is carrots.
Which is carrots.
But Ningen means human.
Human being, yep.
Yeah, which none of us are.
No.
No.
We're all ghosts.
We're all aliens.
Can I just say I'm happy Elisa's back?
Totally.
We missed her.
Thanks, guys.
It's very quiet and silent when you're not here.
Oh, I'm sure.
All right. We do have Jamie here, but she's just going to be here tonight. We're happy that she's even sitting with us. She's a delight.
Absolutely. And she made us good food today.
Yes, she did.
She made us so much sugar. Yeah. If I get a little hyper, it's her fault.
She likes giving us sugar highs before we record.
Well, it's the only way you can get good content.
True.
Yeah, then we get goofy. And then we get silly. And then we all fall asleep.
We crash.
It's like a bottle rocket.
One of these days, we should do like a video tour of like the studio, so people can see the candy cart and all the, so they know what we go through. So,
anyways,
so let's talk about the Ningen, right? Yeah, I did it right. Let's talk about ninjas. All right, I gotta say, I know that Terry and Elisa have probably the more notes on it. Josh and I have looked at each other's notes, and we're just like, yeah, we're guys.
Are you throwing me under the bus right now?
No.
Yes.
I'm putting you in the driver's seat, sister. You're not under the bus. I'm throwing Josh and I under the bus for having such limited amount of notes. That's it's fact.
Mine are probably the same as yours.
It was really tough to do any type of research on this one because it seemed like every website, every article I read was exactly the same thing.
Yep.
Like,
yeah,
just
there's
rehashed.
Not a lot.
There's not a lot
out
there.
It's a pretty new one.
The only reason I have four pages on this is because I increased the font to 18 so that I can see it.
But that's the four pages. I have four paragraphs.
Oh, this is probably like six. Not much better. All right. Let's start. How about you start us off? We'll start with your four paragraphs. I'll add two, and then we'll let the lovely ladies
correct us on everything we're wrong. We'll add what you guys already have.
So what I found, I had some conflicting information about the first sighting of it, but from what I found, it said the first sighting was somewhere in the 1990s, which is really strange because no one heard about it until about 2007. And there was a Japanese magazine called Mu. I really hope I pronounced that right.
M-U.
And it published an article.
Moo. Moo. Sorry.
That's just how they know.
It's Jamie's fault. She gave me sugar.
But they ended up publishing an article, and they included some Google Map images in it, and that's kind of what set off this internet craze about this supposed Japanese cryptid, which is interesting because when I first heard about it, I was thinking something being like of Japanese origin. I was thinking like the Sea of Japan, somewhere up in that realm. But no, all of these sightings actually happen in Antarctica, which is not anywhere near Japan. So at least my globe says that.
Yeah.
Well, Google Maps too.
Well, the title of the article was Antarctic Humans.
Well, so the one I said saw was Japanese Mermaid.
Yeah.
Which are the same thing.
Yes. So there was a Japanese whaling vessel, or a Japanese research vessel, depending on which you want to call it.
And it was government operated.
They are government operated vessels. For those of you who don't know, the Japanese government it has these whaling ships that go out. They capture whales. They do some research stuff. And then they're allowed to actually harvest the rest of the whale and sell it on the market for actually a pretty good profit. So these vessels are operating.
It's all in the name of science. And if they happen to make a couple bucks off it by
they selling the blubber?
Poaching whales, then...
Blubber.
Yeah.
The blubber.
The blubber amongst us.
From a beluga. I just broke Terry.
Anyway, so they're out down by Antarctica. They thought they saw what would be like a submarine. They thought there was a submarine surfacing near them. They looked at it. They realized that it was alive. They estimated it to be 20 to 30 meters in length. And for those of you who do not understand how long that is, that's about 66 to 98 feet long, which I read is about 10 feet short of a blue whale.
Yeah, they call it, some people call it the Godzilla of whales.
Yeah, I was hoping Godzilla was going to come up.
Godzilla.
Godzilla.
Run like it's Godzilla, even though it isn't. And it was white and roughly shaped like a human. And then from there, the rest of the reports kind of differ. Some of them say that it has arms and legs. Some say it has like a mermaid's tail. And then some say it even has tentacles. And the reports of it having no distinguishable face, but has an eyes and a mouth.
Just like Baymax.
That's true.
Are you satisfied with your care?
He's like a balloon.
So they surface and go, hello, are you satisfied with your trip? I'm not funny.
The trip just brings up some really bad images. So we'll just go off from there. Yes.
Okay.
And then it is reported that the sailors took actual pictures of this creature, and then when they got back to Japan, the government confiscated them, which is why there are no pictures from this or any other encounter.
And so they're like Men in Black.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that wraps up all I know about this cryptid.
Oh, say it, Josh. Come on.
Oh, no. It's not going to happen. I will not be wrong.
So the interesting thing about that to me is that these Ningen, just kidding, Ningen. I think that it's funky that they're always white, right? They always say described as that they're white in color. Well, if you're in the Antarctic Ocean, what else is also seen commonly in the Antarctic Ocean?
Polar bears.
Ice.
Whales. No, there are no polar bears.
Polar bears are the other end. The penguins are in the Antarctica.
Yeah, but penguins aren't white.
They have white bellies.
Could you imagine how big a penguin have to be?
I know.
A lot bigger than Danny DeVito.
Penguins.
Yeah. So icebergs, right?
Yes.
Icebergs. Ice, baby. Right? So you get a bunch of these guys and women, purportedly. There's a bunch of these persons. This is 2020. We got to be PC. There's a lot of these persons on a boat, and it's really cold, right? So what happens when you're really cold? Your teeth chatter, right? So then you get down to Antarctica where it's, like, beyond really cold, and it's so cold that your teeth don't even chatter anymore. Your brain just seizes, right? So these people are seeing icebergs, and they're just and they just automatically go, wow, that's a person. I mean, I thought it was, funny. Some of the descriptions, you know, that I read about that I thought were funny was five-fingered hands. And, like, so one of them said, like, it was like a big giant ape, which I thought was very hilarious. It's like, is it like King Kong? Well, yeah, well, there are these apes that had learned to hold their breath was the way it was described. And it's like, what?
So I think that's what you get. You get King Kong versus Godzilla and then the Antarctica.
Right? It's just like the setting for like some sort of a Hollywood movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. It should be a good movie, right? So if they have, so then it's also been said that they have legs on land, but tails in the water.
Like a Hollywood movie.
Like a Hollywood movie, like Splash and like Aquamarine. Aquaman. And
Little Mermaid.
She lost her voice though.
But she did have legs on land. She still
had legs on, yeah.
Yeah. But
we could go with Splash though, because that was one that I grew up with, and she could actually turn herself with like salt water and gripping her leg or something. I don't know.
And the weird thing is like they say that like their face is right, but only the eyes and the mouth. And some people say it has like a dolphin face. So it's like the reverse of a mermaid with human legs but a dolphin face.
Oh, there's a Scottish song about that.
So it's an inverse mermaid.
It's an inverse mermaid, yeah.
There's also ones where it says that it looks as if two humans' upper bodies are joined.
Yeah.
So like can you join twins?
How would you swim?
So in my mind, though, it was like, where did this thing evolve from if it's human-like features?
That's a good question. From
semen.
Well...
What was also that, known as sailors.
What was that, Elisa? I didn't hear what you said. Could you say that again? What was it? I missed it.
It was
what did you
drunk
say?
Sailors. She said drunk sailors.
What did you say, Elisa?
She said this is
2020. They're persons now. Oh, your face is almost as pink as your sweatshirt. That's awesome. Hold on.
Ball?
Okay, we're going back to that. We're all on a sugar high right now, okay? All
right.
For those of you at home, never mind. We made Alicia blush. I didn't want to embarrass you and tell them that we made Elisa blush.
Anyways, I mean, seriously, okay. If you saw something walking around with the head of a dolphin and human legs, what would you think?
That is one ugly dude.
I'd be looking at my wine and
it's like, dang, she ugly.
I'd be looking to see if someone spiked something I was drinking.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Moana. It's so cold there, right? That their brains have to be...
You want
to
know how cold the average temperatures in Antarctica?
Yeah, tell us.
Okay, range between 14 degrees Fahrenheit to minus 76 degrees Fahrenheit in the higher elevations. So that cold, how can you survive?
Blubber.
A lot of alcohol. Blubber. St. Bernard's getting bringing drunk? You little barrels of alcohol.
Yeah. So, lots, I mean, it's cold. Very cold there.
You know, so when... I don't think the Antarctic or the Antarctic research station's active anymore, but when it was active, they had a 200-degree club. So inside the station is a hot tub. And then right outside, about 10 feet outside the front door, is a flagpole. And so what they would do is they'd go from the hot tub out into the minus 100 degree Fahrenheit weather with wind chill, run around the flagpole and back inside.
And if you made it back inside, what did you get?
They would freeze to death.
You wouldn't freeze to death, but it's super cold.
I mean, you'd like any water on you would instantly turn to ice the minute you stepped outside.
But it was only 10 feet. So like that's not super far, so you can make it out and back before you freeze to death.
What if you tripped?
Oh, your host. You trip into the flagpole and freeze against it.
Oh. Stuck. Stuck. Stuck.
Oh, my gosh, you guys. This is...
I could just see this going wrong. It's like so wrong. I don't need that kind of notoriety.
But yeah, it is very cold out there.
Well, and it's so cold, there's like zero permanent residents in Antarctica. Because it's the most southern point of the planet, It's so cold. It's really hard to get there.
Who owns it that you would actually like buy property from?
I don't know.
Or pay taxes too?
I don't know. But
ooh, tax free.
There's like
yeah,
zero residents down there. So, and the Antarctica is about 5.5 million square miles. And to give you an average idea, okay, so the lower 48 states in America is 3.1 square miles. So there's a lot of land, a lot of ice for things to hide and be unknown in the Antarctic.
Well, and you're also talking about in the water, right?
Yep.
And so, like, how much of the oceans have been explored? What, only 10%?
Well, yep. Maybe they live on the land and they were just going for a cool, warm dip in the water.
Yeah.
Bath time.
But, I mean, you're talking about most people don't even know what's going on in that area, so... Mm-hmm. And there could be something hiding.
There's a lot unexplored.
Yeah.
Out there.
Yeah.
It's not like you can just, you know, don a wetsuit and jump into the water. It's
like space, the final frontier.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that makes a lot of sense. You know, if the oceans themselves are very much unexplored, right? Only about, what, like we said,
10%
is what we had on the last time we talked about.
Ghost ships.
Yeah. So, especially there. It's like that 10% that is explored is like off the coast of Hawaii, where people can like, you know, survive and go, oh, look, and they can see.
Yeah. And you can only, I mean, and a human can only dive, you know, so many feet without proper protection anyway. So, mm-hmm. like, you'd have to find a sub or like a submersible of some sort that you could go down in that depth. And then, you know, even that would be tough.
So by that rush, it was very nice of these Ningen to come to the surface so they can say hi.
Exactly.
Very polite. No, I think it's funny that they are described as they mostly look like ice. Although it said, and this is what kind of gets me, it says that their smooth human-like skin can be seen when photographs are enlarged. It's like, how do you enlarge a photograph in dark, cold, murky water to where you can go, oh, it looks like skin, like human skin? I'm not that good. I mean, I've analyzed a lot of photographs trying to look for paranormal things, and, you know, shadows and things. How do you look at something and be able to tell a texture is like human skin?
Well, and with it being such a new cryptid that's been found, why are there not more pictures of it? Because it's modern day, guys. Everybody has cameras. Nobody goes to
Antarctica. Well, and I think
it's not a popular cruise destination.
Yeah, I think to Mike's point, like, you're talking about an out-of-the-way area.
True.
So the only people going down to Antarctica are research teams.
Mm-hmm. And the government.
Well, yes. See, and I actually have a little piece on that where...
Do share.
It says, I heard that the research whaling surrounding the Antarctic Sea conducted by the Japanese government is not only conducting research on the whales, but whales that they catch, but also researching and recording whales that they do not catch. In the last few years of research, it is said that some objects cannot be officially announced that have been witnessed. This information is gained directly from a person involved. There are several types of them, and we talked about that. And then it says they are baffled at them because an official announcement of the object could overturn the credibility of current research whaling. So they're recording them, they're putting out, they have information, is what they're saying on them, but they can't put them out because they don't want to lose credibility.
Nobody will believe their stories.
Right.
So
about anything.
See, and I've got... Well,
it's like being a paranormal investigator, right? Sorry, continue, Terry. No. Good
job. What you got, Terry?
No, I was just going to say that most of the eyewitnesses, the government has gone to them and said they're not allowed to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to keep it hush-hush. So what's the government trying to hide?
This is where you change the background music here to X-Files. Because
if they have information on them and they know they exist... Why are they trying to keep it a secret versus just the credibility of it?
Well, and that's like, I saw some things, and it realms into the world of conspiracy, right? Some people are saying that they're just trying to keep it hidden so they can study it further. Another part I read, it says that they're secretly harvesting these because they're toxic and they want to use it as a chemical weapon.
Ooh. See, I heard that, and I also heard that it could be used for medicinal purposes, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, are they eating it? Are they developing weapons of war?
Coronavirus.
Oh. That's where it came from.
Came from the Antarctic.
Yeah. And I, yeah. An Antarctic fish market, wet bar.
Wet market.
Yeah, but there we go. Oh,
that was me. Sorry.
I did find in my notes where it said about the ape. It says some people think they are an undiscovered species of apes who are able to breathe underwater.
Oh, wow.
Which is just fun. I thought, some of these are better.
I would like to see videos of this. Like
right?
Ape swimming underwater.
But they're reported to have, a lot of people report them to have hind legs that enable them to walk on land. So one of the pictures, if you Google it, my favorite picture is the first one that comes up. It looks like this white angry bird with like Bigfoot legs.
It's like a big cloud.
Yeah, and like a fluffy cloud with like Bigfoot legs.
I'll post the picture. Oh,
it's great. A gem. And that's just an actual photograph, if you believe this, you know. No, it's not. It's an artist rendering. Probably drawn by a 12-year-old with an awesome imagination.
Okay, so here's another conspiracy theory. What if it's like a man-made machine? Like an ocean robot? Or like a cluster of nano-ocean robots?
Ooh, nanotechnology.
That'd be a lot of nano.
Because it's huge. They're huge.
It's huge.
It is huge.
Hmm. I didn't actually hear that one. Mm-hmm. But that would actually bring into the sense of the government hiding it, though, too. Because if it was like a secret, like government, like submarine, submersible, like mech type of thing, you would definitely try to hide it from the rest of the world as long as you can.
True. I mean, imagine if it's a submarine or something that is
trying to portray a whale.
Well, it comes across as a biological, yeah. Right?
Right.
So it looks like a whale. It swims like a whale. It surfaces and people are like, wow, that's just a weird looking fish. No, it's a submarine.
Maybe we should have started researching manga and seeing if there's anything in there that would have given us a good hint on what we're looking for.
Maybe the reason why the pictures are all so bad is the government is releasing those kind of like misinformation campaign.
Deep thoughts.
That
is a deep thought because you're like, because once you start getting to like governmental conspiracy theories, like
you could go anywhere with that.
Yeah,
it's kind of a reverse situation where they're purposely releasing the pictures to make people talk about it, but then denying it.
Right, and that kind of goes into like there's that one theory that they're USOs.
Yes.
So
the United.
What's a USO, Josh?
Yeah, what's a USO?
Unidentified submersible object.
There you go. Yes, and there's actually rumors that Christopher Columbus saw USOs when he was out on his ship.
Well, he could have.
Was there any documentation that I haven't heard of?
Well, you go back to Christopher Columbus. Back then, most everything was USOs because nothing had been researched in the ocean.
Like. That's a USO. No, no, no.
It's a whale. It's a mermaid. It's a dolphin. No, it's a mermaid. She's talking to me. It's like, you're loony.
You've been at the sea too long. So I came
up. Sorry, to me, it's just, he's bringing back all these memories of the most recent King Kong versus Godzilla, right?
Mm-hmm.
With all these government trying to cover up all these creatures that exist. And not to go into movie lore and stuff, but it's just, it really seems reminiscent of this movie. Or sorry, maybe it was a documentary.
It could have been.
Or another one that Terry brought up was that there's the movie called Pacific Rim, where there's these creatures that come up from the Mariana Trench called Kaijin. And then so the humankind has to build these gigantic...
Is it Kaijin or Kaiju?
Doesn't matter.
Heard it both ways.
Yeah, I heard it both ways. Yeah, same thing. Tomato, tomato. So anyway,
but also keeping with the movie theme.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the Meg? Where did the Meg come from? Okay. So you have Mariana's Trench. What if I'm gonna say it wrong? Nigen? No.
Ningen
came from Mariana's Trench. Somehow it escaped from down in the depths of the ocean and came from there.
So you're saying that there's a soft lore?
Yes.
That was the thought
there's,
of the
there's Meg. A porthole.
That was the thought of the Meg of how it was able to come up through that little.
Yeah, because it was like a chemical or like a nitrogen thick layer.
There was like
or
a
something.
Little bubble that it couldn't get out of.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it, it and then below that was actually livable, warm, like temperature stuff.
Yes.
The part that I still find funny about the Meg and that part, like you're still like even if it is a soft bottom and you're that deep, that is still like super high pressure to mm-hmm. be down that deep, and there's no way that an animal could go up that high and then still survive up higher in the with that with less pressure because they're usually accommodated or acclimated to that type of pressure.
Yeah.
But some people just perform well under pressure.
With scuba divers, they have to come up slowly for that pressure reason so you don't get... Oh, what is it?
It's the bends.
But
bends.
Just because we don't understand it doesn't mean it couldn't happen, couldn't be real.
Well, the giant squid can't come to the surface. When they do come to the surface, they're dead.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen $1 million?
Yes.
Well, I haven't.
Because you haven't seen it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
He flipped it on me. It's one of my favorite Christmas quotes. Thanks, Josh.
So yeah, that's more like the movie line theories. But.
I found one that actually came from like further back Japanese lore. I'm going to butcher this one, but it's Ningyo, or known named with human fish. So
Elisa was just talking about that too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look at
go
that.
For it, Josh.
And then it's also translated into mermaid. The part that's funny is that it's described as having a monkey's mouth, small fish-like teeth, golden scales, and a quiet flute-like voice. It tastes delicious, and eating it will greatly increase your lifespan.
Who is eating these things?
I don't know.
Oh my god!
This fish looks like a human. Let's eat it.
So,
I was just like looking at a chicken. Like I'm going to eat the next thing that comes out of its butt. And now we have eggs. Sorry.
Got a face of a monkey and teeth like a fish. Let's eat it.
Well, I think that's the first thing you do anyway. Is you just, when you find something, you eat it. You stick it. It's the basic toddler philosophy. You find something, what do you do? You pick it up
right in the mouth
and you put it in your mouth. Yeah. So some people were just pioneers.
It's weird that not a whole lot more sightings have been reported though.
No,
there's just the one from the one whaling ship, really.
Well, I have another one.
Do you have another one?
Ooh, do tell.
So there's a man named Jiro Matsumoto, and he says that he was one of the first people to encounter the Ningen, and while he was on board the Japanese whaling research vessel in the Antarctic waters, he recorded his experience. But then he says he went back to the site, resolving to kill and dismember the creature and transport its head back to Japan so the captain sends two divers, Haruka and her lover, down to the floating humanoid. Her lover becomes trapped in one of the creature's hands and is left there while Haruka is propelled back to the surface when the creature flatulates. Abandoning the attempt to kill, so the ship returns to Japan, where Matsumoto and Haruka are reunited and married.
But I thought you
died. I believe that sighting so much.
That's my favorite.
That's my that's
awesome. You think it, but whales do fart.
Can you imagine the bubble on that one?
They do stuff.
No, isn't it in Deadliest Catch? It does.
Keith from the Wizard talks
the
about
wizard.
How the crabs are always there's little bubbles that up here and he believes that that's where you find the crab but does he call them whale farts?
I don't know if it's whale farts or seal farts or something like that, but he looks for the bubbles in the water for the farts to know where the crab are at.
Well, it's funny because whales, they work together to eat, right? So they'll go in circles with each other and create this spiral by blowing bubbles. So they blow these bubbles together to create the spiral to make all the fish come together and make a and form a ball. And then, so you know when the whales are about to eat because all these bubbles come rising to the surface.
I'm but just they're not whale farts, though.
I'm just surprised. No. I'm just surprised that her lover, because that's apparently the only name that she has, is her lover.
His oh, there's a name, but I don't want to totally botch it.
Oh, why not?
Let me see if I can find it.
We're from Utah. We botch everything here. That's how it goes. Laverkin. But yeah, it's like, well, why didn't the whale just throw it up? Like in the New Testament, or no, the Old Testament. Jonah and the whale. You know, blah. Threw it up. You know? Just saying. A piece of bad... which leads to a whole other question. So, you eat bad fish, right? And you get sick?
Like oysters?
Yeah. So, do they eat bad humans and then just get sick and throw up?
I guess a bad penguin.
Bad human. Oh. Did you find it, Elisa?
No, I can't find it.
Okay. Okay.
Move down. Does anyone else have anything, any other sightings or information about this?
Not any sightings, but I think another reason why we don't have very many pictures is because they're nocturnal animals. They're my kind of creatures. They live on my schedule.
It's convenient.
But since they're always out at night, it's really hard to get pictures at night anyways, unless you have that night vision available.
So. Well, how come it's always only Japanese boats whaling stuff, too? It's like, where's the rest of the world in this?
Most people don't go down there.
Like, true. So, but, you know, one theory I'm surprised that Mike has not brought up, because this is his favorite subject when we talk about cryptids. What if it's an alien?
Oh, I've been thinking it all night.
Just crashed into the ocean and just decided to stay there.
Well, yeah, maybe that's why it's so recent. It came from another planet and splash, and then they're like, hey, what's that? It's like, it's only been here for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And it came up to say, excuse me.
What if it was the pet of the alien that crashed?
Oh, guys.
Or what if they're starting a breeding program with these things? They're trying to figure out what environment works best for them.
True.
What if it's just a whale or a thing of ice?
Yeah, it's like, what if it could just... Okay. Well, that's the thing is, what if it's just a whale, but it's just like handicap?
Yeah, what if it's just a deformed beluga whale.
Also... We have global warming. What if this was thawed from all that ice in Antarctica?
It's like a dinosaur.
And it's from prehistoric times.
Wasn't there a movie on that?
Well, there was Encino Man.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. It wasn't that one. I was thinking of more of like a horror monster flick where something was frozen in the ice and it melted and it came to life and killed a bunch of people.
I think there's one called It Came from the Ice.
I don't know. But yeah, I mean, with all the global warming, in fact, I was just reading... last year in 2020, one of the Antarctic stations, they had a high of like 60 something degrees. Oh, what is it, Josh?
Jamie asked the question, when is the last time you heard an iceberg fart?
Oh, it happens. Actually, it does. So icebergs, when you see them, it's like you see, what do they say, 10% or 3%?
10%.
You know, most of it's all underwater. But as things as it freezes and as it melts and things change, sometimes there's those air pockets underneath. And so as it sometimes changes shape, like direction, like tilts, like it rolls over. Just like when you're in bed, you roll over and sometimes some air escapes.
Every time Mike stands up.
And sits down. Thank you. In that respect... Icebergs do fart.
Yeah, so it was February 9th of 2020. There was a high of 69 degrees in Antarctica. So the global warming.
Super hot.
Yes, for Antarctica.
Oh, yeah.
Besides being a whale, a deformed whale, a beluga whale, what other possibilities could it be besides that?
So I read one that said it might be a new unknown species of kite.
Kite?
Kite. So, or ray.
Oh, like a manta ray.
Yeah, so it'd be like an albino ray.
Yes.
And that's not uncommon when you're looking at the Arctic anyway, because they're going to use the whitest camouflage.
Didn't they recently find a pink one of those?
I have no idea.
Hold on. I think they recently
found many of those rays have feet?
Well,
and two legs and
none.
But they have the cute little face on the bottom.
They do. And so, and they, like, it's almost like they took a bunch of different things, and people have taken a bunch of different things and then, like, smashed them together.
Yeah.
See? To make something else.
Pink manta ray.
Whoa. Is it from, like, eating krill or something, or what?
I don't know. Hold on.
That's cool. Let me
see what I can find here.
It's cute. Steve Irwin didn't think they were cute.
Okay. That was not a manta ray. That was a stingray. There is a difference between
it's
the two of them.
It's still a ray.
The manta rays are harmless. In fact, manta rays are like, Jamie's going to love this, the cats of the ocean.
Well, and that's what whales eat.
Yeah.
Cats?
And everything.
Yeah, anything that falls in their mouth.
Only if they're lucky.
I'm trying to see when this pink manta ray was found. In 2010. So...
10 years ago.
10 years ago, it was found.
Is it? Do they find more than one, or do they just find one?
Hold on.
Because then you wonder if is it just a genetic mutation of an existing species, or is it a new species to begin with?
Okay, so right here, in an effort to learn more about his coloration, so I guess it was a male that they found. They did a skin biopsy in 2016 that led them to rule out illness or diet as a cause of his unique color. Researchers now believe that the manta ray's pink skin is due to a genetic mutation that causes it to express melanin.
Melanonin. Yeah.
Yeah, it's M-E-L-A-N-I-N. Differently. Most likely, this is a condition called, I should not be reading this because I don't know how to read these, urethraism, which causes an animal's pigmentation.
Urethraism? No, it's...
No,
it's,
no.
Did you use the highlighters right here?
It's in the box.
Researchers believe the manta ray's pink skin is due to a genetic mutation that causes it to express melanin differently. Most likely, this is a condition called erythrism.
There you go.
Erythrism, which causes an animal's pigmentation to express as pink or red.
So there you go.
So we're looking at genetic.
Or you can tell far jokes and we all
turn
pink.
It's a genetic mutation. So maybe this is a genetic mutated well of some sorts.
Well, all right, and I think Jamie had a theory that it wasn't one, but multiple beluga whales.
Yeah, like mom and babies. And
yeah, like a couple of them, like, because, you know, they're herd animals.
But those are common in the Arctic, though, not the Antarctic.
I think...
What if they got lost?
But what whales are prevalent in the Antarctic?
Sperm whales.
You don't know, true. Do you?
There could be a sperm whale.
It could. No, isn't it the great not the great, the blue whales.
Sure,
I think we looked that up. I want to say it was the blue whales. The big ones.
Yes.
Are common down in the south end.
There's a lot of different type of whales, and I can't remember
if, humpback, blue whales, baleen.
Yeah,
they actually all
come down at the same time to eat.
So,
as far as the pictures, it could be like somebody just like drew a face on a rubber glove and stuck it in the bathtub and faked a photo.
Right.
And then made up a cool story to go along with it.
And like, you know, Josh said earlier, it could be a giant squid because it's been said to have tentacles.
Yeah. And then,
like an albino.
Albino giant squid.
An albino giant squid.
What's interesting, though, is like you have what now? Two reports? That we can find, like, two confirmed reports of this cryptid. And 9 or 10 different variations. So I'm wondering if it just doesn't just get... Once it gets on the web, goes viral, it just starts to mutate itself.
Yeah. Well, and then another one that I was just showing this to Elisa earlier. An ocean sunfish. Have you seen those before?
Yeah, those are huge.
Those are huge. This is huge. I mean, what do you say it was, what? How big? 60 feet?
About 90 feet.
Yeah. 60 to 90 feet.
So, there's one theory.
Yeah, and sunfish do get huge. I mean, they get over 1,000 pounds. Mm-hmm. They're massive animals. But
90 feet, though, I mean, this is almost like half of a football field. Right, 50 yards is 100 feet, roughly, right?
Yeah, roughly.
So, I mean, we're talking like a 40-yard, you know, from someone who thinks about how far I can throw a football or kick a football. That's a
30,
big...
30 yards.
That's big. I can kick further than 30 yards.
It'd be about 30 yards. I'm just
kidding. Are you limiting me?
No, I'm just sending the feet right. Yeah.
So that's big.
Yeah, that's
for a living organism.
That's a big animal. Which is, like I said, it's only 10 feet ish short of a blue whale, which is the largest whales out there. So that's just massive in itself.
Wow.
So what do you guys think it actually is? What do you think they're actually seeing out there?
To me, it's either whales or ice.
Yeah, I agree more toward the whales. I'm thinking it's some sort of a whale or disformed whale.
I think it's faked.
Think total fake?
Like I think it's total faked. I think it's
I know
total...
it gets faked, but if it's anything, then that's what I think it would be.
I agree. It's probably more faked than anything. I mean, because of all the information that's available out there.
Yeah, there's nothing true.
There's nothing true. Nothing has been actually, like, besides that one article in the magazine, there has been no official statement made on these.
Yeah.
But there is a Google map image of something in the...
Have you seen that Google map image, Josh?
Yeah, I've seen that image.
Do you trust everything on Google?
Just because it's on the internet, it's true?
Yes, of course. It's on the internet. It has to be true, right?
I'm surprised that Mike's not going with the alien theory, because he always goes with the alien theory.
I think this is too bizarre for, even for aliens. I think way aliens, off the deep. Aliens are getting this going... Whatever, man. Whatever. No, I don't know. I think I do. I don't know what they'd be seeing. But I think if there was something there and then they were seeing them, I think that there would be a lot more reports of it throughout history. And even now, there's enough boat traffic down there. Somebody else has to see something.
Right. Well, you got to wonder, too, like, because you're thinking about Japanese, you know, seamen. They're out there on the ocean. They're out there a lot. Do you think they wouldn't be able to tell the difference between ice and a whale, or?
You would think.
If they're sober.
Well, that's true.
Have you seen the image of the ice with the face on it, like, sideways? Did you see that image?
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Oh, my gosh, it's so doctored. You know, I got to post it. It's so funny.
Maybe, I mean, I'm kind of like more of the I'll believe it type thing until someone proves me wrong. But honestly... It's like maybe they were all drunk, and maybe that's why there's just not that many cases, because most of these seamen that are out there are sober when they do their jobs. And so they're all the drunk ones are like going, hey, we saw this. And all sober ones are like, where?
Yeah.
Where, behind the iceberg? No, it is the iceberg.
Yeah. Well, and they really like to believe in the unknown. So they actually consider this a UMA. Which stands for Unidentified Mysterious Animal. So they love to believe in the unknown, so they come up with all these different things, too. So who knows?
So now you're getting into the cultural differences between countries,
like,
and stuff.
And yeah, the culture loves to believe in stuff like this.
How many UMAs do they have, do you know?
I don't know.
Do they believe in Nessie?
Well, they were saying that maybe this thing fought the Loch Ness Monster.
That'd be cool.
Well, we know who wins that battle. I'm just saying.
All right.
I think that's all we got on the... I mean, I'm not going to say it. I can't say it. Elisa?
Ningen.
So, yeah, I think that pretty much... I think we've exhausted the internet of data associated to
well
this
beyond
one.
It.
So let's switch gears just a little bit, and let's talk a little bit about places that we would love to go see and investigate in the future, you know, before we all no longer can do it anymore.
Places to go before we die.
That's trying to be less morbid.
We're all gonna die. We're all gonna be spirits. We're all gonna be ghosts. We're ghost hunters. That's all. So it's before we graduate.
That's right. Before we move on to the next level.
That's right. Advanced ghost hunting.
You want to lead us off, Mike?
No.
You know what? I'll go first, so nobody takes my idea.
Go ahead.
Because if somebody takes my idea, I'm gonna have to come up with a second one, right? I want to go and investigate the White House. so bad because of how much stuff there's there, everything that's happened in there. You've got the desk that I cannot remember the name of that I talked Resolute. About. The Resolute desk. I would love to be able to get into these rooms and investigate and see what's in them, because there are stories of like Lincoln and mm-hmm. his son that died there and their spirits being seen in the White House. I'd love to go investigate the White House.
And wasn't Mary Todd Lincoln a spiritualist? Didn't they use the Ouija yes. board in the they White
did,
House?
They did. I don't know if they did actually seances or
yes, they did.
What they did in there after she lost her children and stuff. So, yes, stuff has been done in the White House.
Yeah. That would be cool, actually. I think there's a lot of history associated, both good and bad, right?
Yep. And you know you're never going to get inside that place to investigate ever.
Not unless I get elected.
Right? Do it, Josh. Oh. I'll vote for you. Just so I can investigate.
Paranormal investigations, Josh, in the Red Room.
Josh is sitting there, and he has all these secret service guys sitting around the room with their different instruments, holding cameras.
And could you imagine being able to go in into like even the presidential quarters where he lives and investigate there that you never get to see?
What about just the rotunda area?
The rotunda area would be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, I guess no one's ever really thought about how potentially haunted the White House actually is.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it totally is. I mean, it's burned down. It's been.
Twice, right?
I think twice, maybe. I'm not sure.
I only know of once.
At least once.
Could be more.
But then again, all the crazy stuff that's happened there, like all the parties. It's like if these walls could talk, and guess what, people? They can talk if you have the person who can hear it.
Yeah. So yeah, that's, what was that?
The EVP cat? Ghost cat.
Oh my gosh, there's a paw in the door.
Willow just wants to be acknowledged.
I think it's a paw. But yeah, that's where I would like to go.
That'd be cool.
All right, I will go. So mine's a little bit more realistic and potentially getting to.
Mine's real.
No, it's a real place. I'm saying it's like realistic as like actually being able to.
I'll just never get to go there until I die.
Something I may actually somehow be able to investigate in a small form. So as most of you know, I am Scottish of descent. And I would really love to go and to investigate my clan's castle. Called Braemar Castle, and I know that they have ghost stories there. I would just love to be able to take some toys and actually, you know, converse with said spirits that are there. Excuse me. I had some beans before we broadcast. It just creeped
sugar
out.
Sugar and beans.
Just creeped out. Happens. So, now there's an angry cat with his paw sticking under the bed.
I'm trying to get a recording of it, but it's
anyway, so I would like to go there. I mean, and here's the funny thing is, so Terry and I, when we were in Scotland in 2009, this was before I was involved in the paranormal. It scared the crap out of me. We went to a castle, and they actually did haunted tours. And there were things in there, there's little, like we've talked about this before.
We talked about this on the first episode.
The thing that said yeah. Triggered items. And she rubs it in my face all the time that I was too much of a wuss to do it. So now, when we go back, we're doing it.
Okay.
We'll investigate every castle that lets us in. We'll just look really weird. Dowsing rods.
Well, the thing is, there was something there. I could feel stuff there. There was.
Oh yeah, that's why.
There
I
was
didn't
like
want to
certain rooms
it.
I'd look in. I'm like, not going in that room on this tour. And this was in broad daylight, and it was creepy. So.
So there you go, Braemar Castle. Braemar that's my castle. Answer.
It has a very pretty toilet. No, I'm serious. I should show you a picture of it. It's like a porcelain, like. Blue and white toilet.
It's white with like blue vines and leaves and stuff.
Yeah.
So the one thing you have to understand about this castle, though, is it was the current clan chief. He's actually today, the day we're recording, is his 102nd birthday. But his first wife was the editor-in-chief of Vogue and Harper's Bazaar magazines, right? So she was all about fashion. So, like, rooms are, like, pink.
Pink.
And there's all sorts of tiles and like fireplace, like the stuff comes from China, stuff from all over the world, and so it's very fancy and elaborate.
That'd be cool to see.
That would be cool to see.
Maybe just go see if we can clog that toilet, right, babe?
Oh gosh.
Jeez. All right, that's it. Braemar Castle.
So for me, I want to go to the Myrtle Plantation. I think anything that has to do with U.S. history, old U.S. history, is super fascinating to me. But there's reported like 10 deaths in the plantation.
Is that the one that has the mirror?
I
think so.
Yeah.
And there was one guy, William Winter. He was an attorney who lived on the plantation in like 1865 until 1871. So he was shot by a stranger outside, but then walked into the house and then fell onto the stairs and died. So they say that now they can hear his dying footsteps. They still hear that. And they've taken pictures of a, with a young girl in the back, and that it's been built on an Indian burial grounds, and just lots of cool stuff. I want to go visit that place.
Oh, my turn.
So I love Ireland. So really any place in Ireland that I could investigate, I would definitely do it. But one that really stands out is Lept Castle, of course. I do remember watching Ghost Hunters International, where Dustin Perry was up there in like the cellar, and he was taunting and provoking whatever spirit was up there. And I remember he just got knocked backwards, like off his feet. And I remember watching it, and he was like crying. He was so shook up, you know, and Josh and I had actually met him back in 2017. And we asked him about that, and he says, yeah, definitely not his most, you know, brightest choices in doing so. But yeah, for me, it would be definitely Lept Castle.
That's cool.
Kate, that was my throat. That was
a gurgle. Gurgle.
So that's usually the one I always pick when anyone asks the places I would want to go investigate. So I'll pick one that I've been to, but never got a chance to investigate, because one is back in 2005. There's no way back then I would have ever done this for sure. And it was in the middle of a war zone for two. So the Iraqi National, it would be the Iraqi Palace Guard Headquarters building.
Ooh.
So most of you probably do not know, I served in the military for 9 years. Served in Iraq in 2005, 2006. And I did a very, very brief stay in Baghdad. And I actually stayed in this building. So, it's actually really pretty cool and ornate building. Know quite a bit about the history of the building, what's gone on in that location. And it'd just be really kind of cool to investigate and see kind of what comes out.
I just think that would be a really sad place. I mean, just with all that we know that has gone on there, I could just imagine the despair for any of the spirits that might be there. That'd be pretty rough.
Yeah, I think it's one of those solemn places, right? Like, not every place that we ever go investigate has happy, wonderful memories. Most of them have really, usually tragic history associated to them. That one would be definitely tough to do, but I think it would be fun. Still, you can't go there, and I wouldn't at this time.
Not this week.
No. That country in itself would be cool. And part of it, too, if you think about it, right? It's actually in between the Tigris and the Euphrates River valleys. Mm-hmm. So now you're talking about the birthplace of humanity. The
cradle of life.
Yeah, the cradle of life, right? It's some of the oldest civilization areas out there. Think of all of the potential history that's just sitting there. And because of where it's located, you can never really visit and see it. Mm-hmm. Just awful.
Yeah.
Thank goodness for the spirit world and for the eternities beyond that we'll have to go check all these cool places out, right?
Right.
So.
All right. So we'll move on to our probably newest segment. You call it tool time or toolbox. We haven't figured out a name for
tools
it yet.
Tools of the trade. just things that we... It's something that, where we can talk about some of the equipment that we use, and it's not anything that's new. If you listen to other paranormal podcasts or you watch other, you know, paranormal shows, you'll see a lot of these things highlighted there as well. But because you like us and the way that we explain things, we can just do it better, right?
Absolutely.
With a little bit more of a fun smile. So today we're just going to briefly touch the first thing that we always tell people. If you go on a ghost investigation, the number one thing to bring with you is bring a flashlight. Typically, we're investigating in dark. But flashlights are so basic, and I'm not going to explain to you why flashlights are important. If you walk around in the dark, you're going to figure out real fast why flashlights are helpful.
I would give this one caveat, though. When choosing a flashlight, choose a red, blue, or black light. They're easier on your eyes. They won't destroy your night vision as much, and they won't blind people.
It's easier to adjust from light to dark.
Yep.
Red, blue, or black light?
Yeah, red, blue, or black.
Then you can see all... Never mind. So then you can see all the stains.
I've been on investigations where I've been scared to turn on my black light.
Yes.
That's why you
can see all the crumbs on my shirt, so don't use black lights around me.
Do not,
all my freckles pop out.
Do not investigate hotel rooms with black lights.
Yes. Former brothels. Okay, so but besides flashlights, which everybody can easily get, you can go get it for $3 at Walmart or Dollar Tree, wherever. Going into actual equipment that you'll find most paranormal investigators, the first thing that they get is called a K2 meter. And K2 meters, now the funny thing is the company that makes this makes the only other things that they really make are like pet control devices, like to stop barking or to training your pets for things. So it's kind of weird. And for every, if you were to Google it, and I encourage you Google it, go check it out. But for every site that you will find that tells you about how amazing a K2 meter is, you'll find 8 that say that it's full of crap. Which you'll find that on just about anything that has to do with the paranormal. You'll find a lot of people that are just big naysayers.
Yeah.
You'll even find investigators that like using it and don't like using it.
And you might find them on this podcast.
You might find them sitting next to each other. So the K2 meter is the first instrument that I ever bought. And a lot of people think that you use it to find ghosts. I don't. People think that you turn it on and you're going to go walking around and all of a sudden it's going to light up when there's a ghost. Now that could happen. But in my experience, what I usually use it for and what I was taught is we first use it to kind of rule out where high EMF is. EMF, what? Go ahead.
That's what I was going to ask. Explain what EMF is.
EMF is called electromagnetic frequencies. Everything has an electromagnetic frequency. Everything has a frequency. Every one of us does. Every one of you do. Your walls have frequencies. Everything has a frequency. And we kind of broadcast this frequency, right? And has these little vibrations that go off. So, and completely, tell me if I'm off my rocker. But what I'm saying is that, EMF detectors will pick up on that electromagnetic frequency that's in the air, that's around us. And so if you put an EMF meter, like our K2 meter, next to your cell phone, which is constantly broadcasting, you know, text messages coming in. So anyway, you use an EMF meter to detect where that electromagnetic fields are. So spirits have electric energy in us. We all do, right? And so, but when we die, our physical body's gone, but that electric energy is still there. That's how spirits are able to exist and to manifest themselves. That's why you'll hear stories about ghosts that are making the TV turn on, or they can usually have an affinity or an ability to make lights turn on or off, or make your stereo turn on, or to speak to us through electrical stuff. Anyway, these EMF meters will pick up on that electric energy. So what I use that for when my investigations is I will go around and I will find where that EMF is before I start investigating. So I know, you know, when someone says I feel really, really heavily that somebody's watching me every time I go into my bathroom and it creeps me out. Well, before I go rule out that there's a ghost in there, I'm going to go make sure that there's not really bad wiring in the bathroom that just, well, yeah, it's
because really that high, super high EMF can create people to feel as if they're being watched. They can hallucinate. Mm-hmm. You know, it can cause all sorts of physical problems on you, which we've run into plenty of times.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when you have, like, that person standing right behind you and you can kind of feel that somebody's there, you kind of get that same feeling sometimes when there's the high EMF. You can sense, like, I feel like somebody's standing behind me. You turn around, there's nobody there, but then you find out, oh, the wiring for my Wi-Fi is right through the wall right here.
We've investigated. There was a house in downtown Salt Lake that we went and investigated once that was right underneath a giant power line. Mm-hmm. And so the moment you turn on a K2 meter, it's pegging high, yep, because the high. Whole house, which...
And it feels different. You know, like, you feel it. You
feel it. It does also feed those spirits as well. But
I can't imagine that's actually safe for people, though, like to basically live on their power lines. Like, I don't even know how they can even allow it that avenue.
Well, and it's mostly older homes. It's not the newer.
Yeah, because there was one episode on... I can't remember which one it was, but it was an older house, and it had such high EMF readings. They, like, went through and rewired this whole house to bring down those EMF readings in there for the family because of what they were feeling.
I think that was one of the original Ghost Hunter episodes,
It was on a Ghost... I can't remember if it was a Ghost... One of the new ones or old ones, but it was on one of those Ghost Hunter
ones. I think it was one of the old ones.
Yeah.
But that's what I'll do with this. I'll usually use it to rule out that EMF stuff. Now, spirits can communicate, and there are a lot of people who say they can't, but I have personally had a spirit communicate with actually two K2 meters. We were Cat and Soul sitting side by side, and we were asking questions, and it was in the basement of a house on a residential investigation. And one of the other investigators had with her, and we were getting very solid, intelligent responses. You know, make it flash to the red for yeses, or don't answer for no answers. And it was very...
Can you explain what it looks like?
No, I didn't actually.
So they know, kind of, when you're saying when it goes to red, they know what you mean?
So K2 meter, they're typically either gray or black. It's a small handheld little device.
Kind of like a remote.
Kind of like size. A little TV remote in size. It has a little clicker button on top. The old ones, you had to hold down the button to make it work. And so the trick of that was you'd put a penny in it to kind of hold the power button on. The newer buttons have a cool clicker, which is awesome. You can hear the click. Okay. Anyway, and then there's on the top part of it, kind of if you're pointing your remote to somebody, there are little lights that light up across the top, little multicolors. There's green, light green, yellow, orange, and then red. And they measure different levels of milligauss, which is what the electromagnetic
So stuff it starts is as green, and then the
and
higher
it goes up to red.
Yeah, and it goes up to red, so it goes from green.
So most places, yeah, when you turn
yellow,
it on,
to yellow, to orange, to red. So the higher,
you'll get a baseline. It just starts off with just that lowest level is a green. If you put it next to your cell phone and you get a text, then all of a sudden, boom, it'll hit up to the red or yellows, and it sits there and kind of flashes, kind of wigs out for a minute.
Yeah, I'll notice, like, a new home will be green. And then as the home gets older, or as I go into older homes, there tends to be more lights that light up. So generally I'll get three, like in a really old home. That's just the normal EMF field is three lights. So, versus a new one would be one.
Yeah, and so the thing to understand on these ones is that anything above the first green light, so the second light's anywhere from 1.5 to 2.5 milligals, then it goes from 2.5 to 10, 10 to 20, and then over 20. High EMF in a house is anything over 10. So, like, at the point of 10 and above, you can start having those physiological issues associated to high EMF in the house, and what's also called a fear cage, the sense of being watched.
Yep.
And so, yeah, it's something to be careful of on that. But the other thing to know is that anything below 1.5, any fluctuations or changes in the EMF field below 1.5 won't be picked up on a K2. So they do have a much broader form of reading than other devices that pick it up.
Right.
Yeah. Well, see, that's where, like, they'll take this in to a place you're investigating, and you'll sweep the room, see where the EMF is at, so you get your baseline, and then they'll just leave it on a table. And then if it spikes, then you can hopefully assume that there is a spirit that is there willing to talk to you. And that's where Mike was saying he was on that residential.
Mm-hmm. And we'll always ask people, you know, turn off your phone or put it on airplane mode so you're not going to be getting a text message, because that'll muck things up. All of a sudden, it starts going off. And like I had one, for example, I was holding it and I had forgotten to I'd silenced my phone, but I didn't put it on airplane mode. And so every time I'm holding it down here by my left side, it's just going nuts. I'm like, wow, this is really cool. And then I realized, wait a minute, let me check my phone. Crap, my phone wasn't, you know, and so once I turned off my phone, sure enough, it stopped wigging out. Because the ghost was trying to use my phone, apparently. So there's a common misconception that EMF meters detect the presence of ghosts. Sometimes they do, but typically more or not, we're trying to rule out. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's more of a tool that there's no real ghost detector, right? There's nothing out there that's going to say, there's a ghost over here in this corner. Like, there's no piece of equipment.
Oh, there's an app for that, though.
That's called Ghost Radar.
Oh, is it the SLS camera?
Yeah.
It gives you a stick figure standing in the corner.
I seriously want one. That would be fun.
That would be fun. But yeah, there's nothing out there that's really going to say there's a ghost right here, right? And so all the tools that we use are things that we can use to help try to communicate with ghosts or with spirits, right? And so that's why Mike was talking about using a K2 or using two K2s in that avenue. So you can use one for yes and one for no. And there are things to be concerned about, right? Because they do pick up electromagnetic field, and most everything in the house in this world gives off EMF of some form, right? Like things like Wi-Fi, your cameras that you're using, the batteries and those things will give off EMF.
Your microwave,
yeah. And so you just have to be careful when you're using them to rule out all of the potential environmental factors before you start claiming that is actual spirit activity. And then one thing to note about the K2 is that it only actually detects on one axis. So like you have the X, Y, and Z axis in a three-dimensional space. K2s only work on a horizontal axis. So it's anything left or right of the K2. That's what it's going to pick up on. So things above and below aren't going to pick it up.
That's why when you go around the room, when you have the K2 in your hand, you go up and down around the room, side to side. You go in every direction around that room.
I like to jab at where I think the ghosts are. And if I stab them right in the gut, it's going to go.
Well, what's cool is that I'll notice that I can go, if I take it, I can go around in a circle or whatever direction. And it will start, if I do feel like there's a presence there or a spirit there, there'll be like a ball of energy in the middle of the air, but then right below it, there's nothing. Right above it, there's nothing, but then right in the middle.
And what's curious is when that little field of energy actually moves. It's like, yeah. Wait a second ago, this thing was spiking and now it's not.
What's neat is at that point, then you stick your hand in there, see if it's cold, and generally it is. And then you can just kind of follow it with your hand.
Just leads us with more questions.
It's just so fun.
And there's so many of the instruments that we use that work with EMF. This is just the most entry level one, I think. This one's typically only about $50 to $60.
It's a basic. You can get them on Amazon.
It's easy. You can stick it in your pocket. Nobody knows you have it. It's not a big deal to get, but it is kind of the most basic and probably one of the first ones that most investigators would recommend that folks get.
It's the first one a lot of people buy, is that?
Yep. And it's also one that I have never actually been able to use for a yes-no type of session. It's never worked for me in that avenue.
Terry's raising her hand. Terry hates it. She'll never take it. But
every investigation, Mike goes, do you want the K2? I tell him no every time.
I have.
But yet he still offers it to me.
But I have once. And that once was enough that really convinced me that it is possible. Often? No. But anyway.
Yeah. And I think we'll start highlighting more of the tools of what we have in our toolkits and stuff. Because we do have, for everyone around the table, we do have quite a menagerie of
equipment. And we're always adding more.
And the funny thing is not a lot of it duplicates between all of us either, which is really cool.
Yeah, just a few items.
I think it's like the K2.
The K2.
The K2 recorder and flashlight.
And the Ghost Meter Pro.
Ovilus.
Ovilus, yep.
We don't have an Ovilus.
We do.
Yeah.
I don't have a flashlight.
Well, see, that's where there's a lot of like the larger equipment that's not duplicated between us, which is really cool.
Because they start getting expensive.
It gets really expensive.
Oh, yes.
They do. And the other thing too is other than like the Ovilus, like which was actually designed to communicate with spirits, most of the tools that we use weren't designed to communicate with spirits. It's something that the people are like, hey, you know what? I kind of got some cool stuff, and this, I think this works. We'll start using it. And then, you know, it just kind of goes that realm where people start picking up on different things, and most of the stuff wasn't usually designed for it. So, like, yeah. The SLS, like, that's for those of you who don't know, the SLS camera, it's really a an Xbox Kinect camera that's been modified to pick up like stick figures and stuff. So,
well, it's just like lasers weren't designed to play with your cat, but you know what? They're a lot of fun. You learn by playing with things that you can. There's more uses to the
exactly
common stuff all around us.
Exactly. So, Terry, where can they find us on Instagram?
That is a really good question.
So what Terry's working on that. You can find us on Facebook at Cold Spot Paranormal Research. And you can also find this podcast on Paranormal Peeps Podcast on Facebook.
On Instagram, you can find us at coldspot_paranormal_research. So come find us.
Yep. And you can find us on YouTube at Cold Spot Paranormal Research.
Go to Instagram. You'll find a picture of a Ningen.
And you'll find it on our Facebook page as well.
Or a ninja, whatever
it is. Or a ninja. Or a Ningen.
Yeah, how about I post the picture of that, and then I'll post the picture of the ocean fish. I can't remember the name.
Sunfish?
Of it. The ocean sunfish. And then yeah. You guys can tell me which one's which.
Aha.
Aha.
All right. Stay ghosty, my peeps.
Laters.
Thank you for listening to the Paranormal Peeps Podcast. You can find us on social media at Twitter at CPR Paranormal, on Facebook at Paranormal Peeps Podcast and Cold Spot Paranormal Research. And you can find us on Instagram at Cold Spot _Paranormal_Research.